My name is Joey King, and this is how I say buttholes.
Grown up woman. Grown up woman.
Hello, it's Andrea. And you're listening to Andrea Savage, Grown Up Woman, hashtag buttholes. And I'm sitting here joined with someone I believe's name is Tony.
Really? That's where we're back to now?
We have had a little bit of a break. A
little bit, yeah.
I haven't gotten my eyes on you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and you know, I thought our budding friendship was something, but I don't think I've gotten one text.
That is not true. You and I have emailed.
Yeah, the show emails.
Show emails, not remotely anything personally. Yeah. By the way, I haven't been getting any like, hey, how are you feeling? What's going on? You doing okay? From you either.
You didn't get those? No. They must not have gone through. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I've been having issues with my computer. Yeah. First of all, nobody has issues with their computer that makes it so you don't send or get an email anymore. So that excuse is
maybe did you check
done.
Your spam folder, maybe?
God, I don't know. You know what? I have a really strong filter, I think, on my junk. So let
probably,
me check it.
Yeah,
let
that's
me check
it.
It. Uh-huh. Yeah. I feel like we are, we've gone backwards. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But when I saw you walk into my home this morning, I my stomach didn't drop. Do you know what I mean? Like
so progress?
Yeah. So I didn't feel like a nausea coming on or anything like that. So that's great.
That, I mean, just in general, because that's good for me, because I mean, it is known to happen from time to time.
So Jennifer pulled a couple reviews from Apple Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We are reading them. So like, really? And I'm like, I want people to put in what they want us to ask each other or would you rathers and stuff. Thus far, only a couple, mostly very nice that like people are loving the show, which is fantastic. But also know that we are reading them and we are, we will talk about them on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Is this called on the air?
Sure. Why not? I mean, it's on the air.
I really don't think it is. Also, side note, we have our website, asavagepodcast.com, where you can also leave emails, questions for us, or whatever you want to say. And also, and I know this is a terrible, I know I hesitate to say this, there's a phone number on the website where you can call and leave us messages.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say, don't call and leave something fucking stupid. Right?
Like, how's that going?
We haven't told people this exists yet.
Oh, right. I forgot.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, like, have somewhat of a point. I think if you call drunk, that will amuse me.
Yeah. Well, I don't, maybe now you're just asking for it.
By the way, I'm so comfortable with asking people to leave messages while they're drunk. That will delight me to no end. So, Tony, we often like to do our intros right before someone comes in.
Yes.
Today, though, just going to be honest with you, we're recording it after the fact.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the secrets of podcasting, that we're letting people peek behind the curtain.
Guys, that's another thing you get here. You get a peek behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
And it is my friend Joey King.
Yes.
And when she was here, it was right before the Emmys. And I'll say she was robbed. I don't remember who won. But fuck them.
But yeah, exactly.
But
who
what
cares?
A dick. She was nominated for The Act. She plays Gypsy Rose. But I love Joey so much.
She's great.
But I know that people are going to be like, wait a minute. She's 20. Why is she on a podcast about being a grown up? And I wanted to have a couple people this season who are not in the typical exact age range that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So who are still have grown up responsibilities, but air a little bit. She airs more on the younger side of grown up, but still does a lot of grown up things. And also I think is a good reminder of what it is to be like at 20.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we also have June Squibb, who's turning 90 this year,
mm-hmm.
coming later. So We kind of wanted to give a couple outlier perspectives. And she played my daughter, or I played her mother, in a movie that came out last year called Summer 03.
Yes.
That I believe you can watch on all the places right now. I know Amazon and some other places too. But she's one of the few child actors, because she was a child actor, now she's grown up, but who legitimately is super down to earth and really who she is, and not fucked up and not too just shit on a lot of child actors, but that's a rough road.
Yeah.
It's a rough road as an adult, and it's a really rough road as a kid. I know in there I talk about how sometimes I don't like working with child actors, and when I was listening to it back, I realized that sort of sounded like I might have been talking about Olive Petrucci, who plays my daughter on I'm Sorry. It is so not. She is another example of a fantastic child actor who doesn't fall in the trappings of the other stuff. And also because she has very, not just cool parents, but who are protective and I think whose values are in the right place. You know what? Is that Joey King coming in from the dead?
She heard about this potential parent idea.
Guys, I have to get the door. All right. Enjoy Joey King. Joey King.
Wait, let me say my line.
Oh, all right. Jesus, you've really changed. You are like a director now, so you're just like...
I'm a bitch now is what it is.
Oh, God, that's cute. You didn't think you were one before. Wait, no, you are so not a bitch. All right, let's... Yes, you're right. Okay. Let's get this out of the way.
Minnie, my name is Joey King, and here's how I say buttholes.
I like that there was full eye contact.
Yeah,
with me.
I just didn't want to stop looking at you.
No. Do you like the term buttholes?
Oh, yes. I do not shy away from the word butthole or butthole jokes either. I love butt jokes.
I find that there's no way not to, like, what I like about it is you cannot be serious. You can't take yourself too seriously and put butthole in a
it's
sentence.
It's like when you say boobies. Like, yeah. like titties is pretty harsh, but boobies makes me laugh.
Titties, if, by the way, somebody recently.
Uh-oh.
Ooh, I'm going to say who it is, and this is not going to be great. Sorry, Tom. Tom Everett Scott. Tom is the sweetest person ever. He plays my husband on I'm Sorry, and he is sweetness personified, and he's very clean, and he doesn't swear a lot. I'm like a dirty maniac to him. And one day he elbowed my boob, and he was like, "Oh, sorry, I elbowed your tit." And I literally was like, "What?" And I didn't want to embarrass him because we were like on set. And I've held on to that until just now. I think I actually told the other Joey in my life, Joey Slayman, who's my kosher runner, my other female Joey.
That's right.
I think I told her, I was like, Tom elbowed my boob and said, elbowed my tit. And she was like, what are you saying to me?
What are you saying?
We were both like stunned because it was so out of... It was so crass.
The word tit is so fucking funny.
He was like, I elbowed your tit. And I was like, no problem. Like, I'm never at a loss for words, as you know. And it really put me back on my heels.
I elbowed your tit.
Yeah.
That is really funny.
It was, and just coming from him. Like, if you said, I elbowed your tit,
you'd be like, I would not okay, be like, cool.
I wouldn't get any pause.
Yeah.
Now, we haven't seen each other for a while.
No, we haven't. It's been, it's probably almost a year.
It's been almost a year. And I think even when we saw each other last was at the premiere of Summer 03.
Yeah.
Where I play your mother.
That's right.
Which is
dope.
So delightful. I remember when I was offered it, I was like, wait a minute. How old is this daughter that I'm going to be playing the mother of a daughter this old? And then you and I met, and it was like, one, we kind of look
a little bit
similar.
Like, yeah.
And it just felt so right.
Yeah, it did. I felt so comfortable just being your kid right away. It was so great.
Now, if you had to compare my mother character from Summer 03
to
Patricia Arquette's mother character.
Yeah.
In the act of which you are nominated for an Emmy.
Yeah.
Who which parent would you say was more loving and nurturing?
Oh, man, you spot the differences are hard.
I know. I know it's subtle, and I know there's like, you know, it's like a good debate. Like there's pros and cons for all of it.
Well, I mean, you didn't know I was having sex with a priest in training.
True.
She would never have let that go.
You're right. And I did take away your cell phone, which we both did.
Which is pretty rude.
So we both did that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a lot more similarities than meets the eye.
Yeah, you know what I think? I think Gypsy and you, mm-hmm. Shira in yep. Summer 03, Gypsy yep. and Shira are more alike than
not alike.
Yeah,
that's extremely upsetting.
I mean, I don't know what you want me to do. You invited me here. Like, what do you want?
I was not aware that I was going to be mortally offended by what you're bringing.
Oh,
to
you
the
didn't
table.
Know that this was just like an hour of me roasting you. Like
I would be so thrilled. I would be so thrilled because usually it's me roasting Tony. Because
Tony
brings very little to the show. Just so you know,
and
coming
you're
in.
Welcome.
And we just met to do this podcast, so we don't know each other well. And we are, which is against all advice of everyone starting a podcast.
Right.
We're working through it. We're working through it and we're getting to know each other.
That is good. That is, you know, it's, I'm so
What are your
that.
First impressions looking at Tony?
Looking at Tony?
Yeah. You'd met him briefly.
Tony is, he's like John Mulaney a little bit.
Wow. Oh, Jesus. Get out. I love John Mulaney.
I love John Mulaney.
Yeah. And you have that same feeling towards Tony?
Like a discount John Mulaney.
Okay. Discount John Mulaney. Now, if I gave you three options of things that Tony is known for.
Okay.
I want you to pick what it is.
Games. Okay.
One, he is in a very successful band as a drummer. Number two, he actively works in the animal rescue world, where he is the director of a local animal rescue shelter.
Okay.
And number three, he's one of a handful of guys who have won knitting scholarships in the state of California since knitting scholarships were started for men.
Okay.
One, two, or three.
There's no D, all of the above.
No.
Okay. The knitting championship is what I think I would go for.
Yes! Yes! Now, out of the three, which is the one that you're like, that one for sure is not true? Musician, animal shelter, knitting.
I mean, I know you want me to say musician.
No, I don't want...
I
want
to say musician.
Tony, would you like to tell Joey what you are known for?
I want to know, did you want to say that to please her, or is that really how you thought?
I don't think you're a knitter. I think maybe you work with animals.
Incorrect.
Oh, shit. What is it?
I'm a musician.
God damn it. He's in a very successful band.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
You're not... You're not a knitting champion?
First of all, it was a knitting scholarship recipient.
Oh, right.
Okay,
that's right.
I don't believe that's a thing.
I think you said it, sure. And I was like, that's the one. But like, because who would lie about that?
By the way, I didn't know we were going to do this, and those were off the top of my head.
That's incredible. Impressive.
Joey, I have a very long background in improv.
I was about to
let
say,
me,
you're
let
improv-
me walk you through my credits.
Please, I don't have anything else planned for the day, so I am free.
They don't take as long as you might think. It's a quickie. I wanted to talk about one thing with you because this is legitimately last night. My daughter's 10.
Yeah.
And she lost a tooth. We are in borderline, does the tooth fairy exist, not exist?
Okay.
She's 10, which I think is too old to still be believing in it. But
really?
I've been, how old were you?
I was 11 when I found out.
And how did you find out?
It was pretty sad. This is actually a very sad story. It's great. Okay. I had my suspicions
yeah.
about the tooth fairy. And I'm Jewish, but my family did Christmas because
we
who doesn't
both
love Christmas?
Yeah, we're similar both, to that. Yeah.
So I had my suspicions about the Tooth Fairy.
What were your suspicions?
I don't know. It just seemed too good to be true that this little thing with wings could be like flying around. So I lost a tooth. I didn't tell my parents. I put it under my pillow. Mm-hmm. Next day, obviously, there was nothing under my pillow.
Uh-huh.
I call my parents in my room. I'm furious. I'm like crying. I'm like, you lied to me. There's no Tooth Fairy. How could you do this? And my mom was like saving it. She was like, no, maybe she just forgot to come. Like, she's busy. Mm-hmm. And then my dad goes, no, the Tooth Fairy isn't real. And you know what else isn't real? Santa Claus.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Can you believe that? Still not over that. Still haven't forgiven him.
That's aggressive.
Aggressive.
But I will also say, 10 is old.
I was 11. No, that's not old.
It is. No. I'm telling you right now, my daughter, all of her friends pretty much know the jig is up on Santa Claus. And Easter Bunny and Tooth Fairy, but she is holding on.
I never believed in that Catholic Easter Bunny shit.
Oh, because that's crazy? But this weird fairy that come just like forces
her away? Well, my family never entertained the Easter Bunny. Like, that was never even a thing in my household.
Yeah.
Like, everything else was, though.
We do Easter Bunny. I will say, at Christmas this year, my daughter was like, Mommy, do you think Santa sees when I'm undressing? Because that makes me uncomfortable.
No, she said that.
Yeah.
That is,
and I'm
so
like,
funny.
If you have a child old enough to be concerned that Santa is watching you undress, it might be time
to
let her know that this is bullshit and fake. I haven't, though, but last night.
Because then you have to go through the trouble of buying separate wrapping paper.
Oh, it's so much work, but I'm very good at it, which is why I think she has been able to have her suspicions but held on.
Yeah.
So last night, I see her doing something under her pillow. And I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, nothing. And I was like, what are you doing? And she was like, I put my tooth under the pillow. And she's like, and I was like, okay, why were you hiding? And she's like, well, because the one other time I didn't tell you, nothing came. And then she looked at me for full eye contact. And then I was like, in my head, I was sort of like,
that is the most
maybe this is the moment, though, where I was like, in the past, I've been like, well, that's crazy. Because I've always been like, you really think that I'm up in the middle of the night putting money under your thing and like
such
taking your
good
tooth?
Good actress.
Like, I just really am like, that's insanity. So basically, I'm telling my child she's crazy for what I'm actually
doing to her. Psycho.
Like, it's the worst possible thing. But last night I was like, you know what? I'm going to see if she comes out and says, Mommy, I know it's not real. So she said, the only time this has happened, when I did this, nothing came. And I was like, oh, really? And she was like, mm-hmm. And I was like, what do you think that means?
No, that's so, oh my God, this is the best.
And then she was like, I don't know. And we basically just stared off each other. And then I was like, she's not giving it up. So I was like, okay, well, good night. So we just left it there.
That is so funny.
So last night I was like, well, fuck, I can't tell if she's fucking with me. I can't tell what she wants, because I was like, I think she still wants to hold on, but at a certain point, as the parent, I can't let her be the weirdo in class. It's like, no, guys, the Tooth Fairy's real. And she's in fifth grade. So I still threw some money under that pillow.
By the way, just curious, how
We're
much
cheap.
Do you give?
We're cheap. I give $2.
Oh, that's better than a quarter.
Well, it's better than a quarter, but I'll tell you, in kindergarten, on her first time she lost a tooth, she told the teacher, her kindergarten teacher, she was so excited. She's like, I lost my tooth, you know, and her teacher was like, did the Tooth Fairy come? She said, yeah, and I got $2. And this other little fucking kid walks by and goes, $2? I get 10. And I was like,
well, that family, the Tooth Fairy, your Tooth Fairy's not Jewish, clearly.
Yeah. And also, what are your parents making up for? What's the quote unquote Tooth Fairy trying to make up for?
Real quickly, though,
mm-hmm.
I do have to say, for the first tooth, $2 is a little cheap. That's very
can I also say,
stingy. You've got one kid. Like, not like you're dropping 20s on three kids.
This isn't because I can't afford $3. It's because I don't want to raise an entitled, spoiled asshole, which is hard to do in this world. But let me also say, she also gets a little pack of gum. Or like a lollipop. Or when she was in Hawaii and she lost a tooth, she got a little necklace. So usually there's something in
it.
It's
a gift.
So she gets like a little gift.
That's cute.
Last night we had nothing to give her. I found...
Wait, this was last night?
Yes, this is what I'm saying.
Oh my God, I thought this was like the other... Oh, this is so much more interesting.
This is
I am so invested in the story already. Wow.
This is last night, guys. And in the, so it was like 11 o'clock and I said to my husband, I was like, we have no gum. We have no treats. We have nothing that she doesn't know is already in this house. And so I found old Easter candy that I had hidden after Easter in a drawer. And then I put it in some tissue paper, made like a little bag and tied it up and then left $2. And she was thrilled this morning. Aww. Didn't say a word about mommy. I know it's you. Nothing. Thrilled. But I know she knows.
Where do you put it? You go under her pillow? Like, can you like...
You say that like that's invading.
No, I no, I just don't...
I'm not like putting it in her bubble.
I just never...
Like, that's not... Yes, it's under the pillow. That's the standard... Where does your Tooth Fairy leave stuff?
I just don't understand. People don't wake up. I'm so, I can't.
Wow, that one, okay.
That really got me.
That one got
it's
you.
It's like, I, listen, my shit was under my pillow too.
Some people then
just don't understand how we don't wake up as people.
Kids will sleep through anything. Kids sleep like the dead. They really do.
So funny.
They really do.
It's not like I'm putting it in our bottle.
Well, you made it sound like it was so invasive, like I was being a terrible weirdo parent. I feel like that's standard.
No, it's totally standard. I just didn't know if your kid happened to be a light sleeper or not. I don't know. Maybe you got an insomniac on your hands. I don't know what you got.
I got a sleep of the dead. Joey King, since we last worked together, you have exploded in the kissing booth. Uh-huh. I mean, like, gone crazy. And then just a revelation. And I'm not somebody who compliments people often because I don't think it's great.
You hate Tony so much.
Confirmed.
Tony. Yeah, confirmed. The act you are so incredible in that it's beyond, I mean, it's truly... I assume everyone by now has seen the act on Hulu, nominated for an Emmy. I just am so proud of you because I will be honest, child actors give me anxiety. And when I've worked with them, I've had a lot of not great experiences with them, their families. I feel like they're into this weird forced, they're very precocious and they act like 45-year-old people, but yeah. They're not. You, my experience working with you on Summer 3, I feel like, and I'm going to attribute this a lot to your mother, Jamie,
yeah.
And your family, you are the perfect, like, version of you work hard and you're grown up, but you're appropriate for your age and you take stuff seriously, but you're also super fun and not trying to be an adult. I don't know.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I definitely attribute that to my family, too. I feel like I really got lucky because a lot of, like we were saying, child actors, they have... I think, first of all, the word child actor has such a stigma attached to it.
Yeah.
And yes, I was a child actor and I'm very lucky that I was able to transition into womanhood, womanhood. But it's 100% the people I surround myself with, that my family especially. I mean, growing up with my mom and my sisters, they... really are the reason that I am the way that I am. I am crazy. And thanks for that, guys. They're just amazing people who helped keep me on the ground, you know?
Also, there's people who've played your mother in things that I think also probably deserve some...
who deserve a little credit.
Yeah,
for sure.
I assume that was formative for you.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty formative when, like that one time I worked with...
Patricia Arquette.
Oh yeah, that one. She was cool. Mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm. She's a fan of mine, so that was cool. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, this one woman, Andrea Savage, she was a huge fan of mine. She had like a shrine of me in her trailer.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, what's up?
Everything else about me is the same, okay? This is a hypothetical.
Okay.
Everything else about me is the same. You come to my house today. You and I know each other. I didn't know you before the movie and, you know, before we did Summer 03, this, that, and the other. I'm in, we're about to sit down for the podcast. I drop my pen. I bend over to get it, and then a little bit of a lower back tattoo appears above my pants.
Okay.
And it's you.
Oh.
And it's not you now.
Oh, right.
It's a younger you, like a Ramona Quimby you.
Oh, shit.
And you see it.
Okay.
What happened? What goes through your brain? What do you say? Do you Do you say anything to me? What question immediately went through your head when that happened? Okay. Like right now when I just put you through that?
Well, first of all, I would pull your mother aside, who was just here.
She was just here.
And I would say, listen, is that shit real? And do you know about this? And she would probably be like, who are you? What do you want from me? Then
you do have matching haircuts. But what if my mom said, I had, Andrea doesn't have a tattoo.
Then I
had
no idea
she had a tattoo.
Then I would have felt like I was telling your mother that Santa Claus wasn't real. I would have felt like I was exposing a big secret.
So then you tell my mother, and then the two of you come into this podcast room.
Okay.
Do you say something to me, or do you leave and call your mother? Like,
well, I would probably shoot a text to my mom, be like, hey, I'm here, and I think Andrea has a tattoo of me on her back, but I'm not quite sure. She would have probably text back, it's probably a bit. And then I would have maybe said something.
So,
but yeah.
If you said something.
If I said something. What would you say? I would say, do you have tattoos, by the way? Because like I was just looking at mine on the bottom of my foot. And I was like, oh my God, I wonder if Andrea has tattoos. That's how I would have opened the conversation.
And I would say, no, I've always wanted one, but I never have gotten one.
Then I would have started sweating.
And what would your feet like?
Probably would have called an Uber.
You probably would have gone through with the rest of the podcast, right?
Probably. Well, because I wouldn't want to be suspicious.
Now, what would your fear be? That I'm going to murder you?
No.
That I'm stalking you?
Like, maybe you have a nanny cam in my home.
You think I'm...
Maybe you would have a nanny cam.
I do know where you live.
Yeah, because we used to live right like next to each other.
Yeah.
But honestly, after I got over the fact that I haven't seen you in probably a year and mm-hmm. all of a sudden you got a tattoo of me on your lower back from when I was in Ramona and Beezus and didn't tell me, mm-hmm. after I got over that whole thing, I probably would think it's pretty cool. And then next time you saw me, uh-huh. I'd have one... Right in the middle of my chest.
Oh, what about on one of your boobs?
Yeah, no, you know what I would have? This boob would say I'm, this boob would say sorry. And then then right underneath my ribs would say on True TV. Well, not anymore, but
I think you're joking.
I think you're mean for saying that. Okay. For discrediting my scenario here.
That's fine. That's fine. What if you found out that the tattoo I had not just recently gotten, but I've had this tattoo... for 10 years.
Holy shit. I would, you know what? Depending on the quality of the tattoo, I would think, okay, her daughter is 10 years old, right? Okay, maybe it was a tattoo of her daughter at first. And then she and her daughter got in a really big fight when she was an infant. And then she covered it up with me. Because she was a big fan of mine.
But wouldn't that make you be like, as normal and nice as Andrea has seemed, she's crazy.
That would have been the first thing that went. I'd be like, this is nuts. Like, this is properly psychotic.
Yeah.
But
you'd have a great story for another podcast.
It'd be a really good story for, I would start my own little podcast off of that story because I'd be like, listen, I've been through enough in my life so far. I'm 20 years old. I've had a lot of experiences. This tops it all. So and then I'd start my podcast based around, it's like picking out an outfit based on your shoes. You start your thing on uh-huh. one idea and then it expands. I'd probably have a very successful podcast with that one story.
Well, then you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And now I take my pants off and show you. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to be back with Joey King. Hi, it's Andrea. Listen, if you're enjoying the podcast, or I'll be honest, even if you're not, this would be just a personal favor to me, which no one gives a shit. But go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe to Andrea Savage, Grown Up Woman, hashtag buttholes, or Spotify, or...
Stitcher,
all the places. And then also Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. It's annoying that we even have to say this, but unfortunately it matters. And it's annoying because I didn't want it to matter, but it matters. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't be stingy with the stars. Let it loose.
Five stars.
I don't need your chanting, Tony, but five stars. Don't be stingy with the stars. All right. Thanks for listening. Okay, back to the show. Bye. That is Joey King drinking tea like a fucking animal. What? Remember when I said you were really like, I was so impressed with you earlier? I take it all back. All right. You ready to play some games?
I'm so ready to play a game.
You're like, I could play game. I could do games with you all day long.
Like, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Play, all right, play. But like, play like, but like, play mind games. Like, be like sexy. Be like, play like.
Okay. Oh God, I have to play games, but sexy.
Here Say we- it slower.
Joey King,
Andrea Savage.
We're gonna play a game.
Okay.
Make love, marry, or murder.
Ooh.
Also known as fuck, marry, kill.
Right.
I just think make love sounds just nicer.
That's a nice word.
All right, Two you words. Ready? Three of your own characters. Here we go. Oh
my God, Andrea.
Okay, here we go. You thought that was just going to be like cutesy and fun? No, I'm going to make this hell for you.
Okay.
All right, you have to decide to make love, marry, or murder Jamie Winkle, who you play in
Summer
03.
Yep.
Coming of age story, figuring yourself out. Ramona Quimby. If she was 20.
Oh.
So it's not actually, you don't have to like consider murdering or fucking a kid.
Okay.
Unless you want to. And then I'm also happy to play that.
Oh God, okay.
Actually, I'm going back.
Yeah.
She's
20.
She's 5.
No, wait, no. Oh God, I'll get in so much trouble for fucking my own self. Like, okay,
but it's
on.
Just yourself. And so there's consent.
Right, okay.
And Gypsy Rose Blanchard.
I knew you were going to throw that shit in there. Oh my God.
All right, here we go. Make love. Mary murder. Okay. Ramona, Gypsy, Jamie.
Oh, jeez, man.
Yeah.
Talk
it through. I'll help you through it.
Okay.
What are you looking for when you have a sexual encounter?
Something fun. We're fun? Going for fun.
Okay.
Okay.
Something wild,
something
maybe.
Something wild. No,
maybe. Not necessarily.
Let's go with this. Here's okay. this. I'm going to marry Gypsy. She's been through enough. I'm going to marry her and take care of her and show her what a real life could be like, right? I'm gonna be.
By the way, this is an amazing answer.
I'm gonna be that.
Jess is sitting in here,
system.
And her face just went like, oh.
But also, she went, oh my God.
No, she didn't.
Like,
did you?
I would never. Yeah, no, I know. I'm gonna marry Gypsy.
Okay.
I'm gonna show her that. What life can be like.
Okay.
She's been through enough.
She's been through a lot.
I'm going to. Oh Lord, yeah. This uh-huh. is a. Uh-huh. Maybe I shouldn't have married Gypsy. You know what? I'm gonna make love to Ramona Quimby.
Okay.
Because I think that's what the world wants. And I'm gonna give the people what they want.
You think to be clear, let me just make this clear. You think the people want.
Don't explain it.
You, Joey King,
oh.
to make love to a young child character that you've played?
This is your fucking game.
Okay. I will say I support this decision. And you
I'm
know what?
I'm going to kill Jamie Winkle because, I mean, she's a great girl. There's really no reason to
but
kill her.
But someone's got to go.
But someone's got to go.
Yeah.
And I'm going to kill Jamie because she told Paul Scheer that he was a bad dad. And I really happen to like Paul Scheer. So.
Yeah. Although.
AKA Ned. Yeah. In the movie.
He played my husband.
We played your
Paul
husband.
And I, husband
and I think that scene where she acted out and did that was real. I never forgave her for that. So I'm just going to kill her.
Kill her. Can I say one reason why I like your choice to make love to Ramona?
I would love for you
and
to.
And by the way, I am going to say that she's not 5. She's going to be 20. Is because I think that's probably her first time. Similar to sort of your gracious showing Gypsy, like a way a marriage could be. I think... You would be a great, gentle
lover.
And I think that you would be a fantastic first time for Ramona Quimby.
This is the most insane conversation I've ever had.
That's my goal for this podcast.
I'm talking about making love to Ramona Quimby. And oh, Lord.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
When you agreed to come here.
Yes.
You had to know this wasn't just going to be like... So, tell me about how you got into character for her.
No, I had 100% some suspicions it would be some pretty wild shiznatch.
Yeah.
And it is.
But I do my research, though, and I really do think about, like,
that
what are hard questions?
Probably, if I were to go out and say this confidently, which I will, it's probably the best question I've ever been asked.
Joey.
Andrea. Look at you.
Oh. Let's hug.
That's a great question.
I'm feeling pretty
good. You
know
what? Good. I'm going to go home and ask my entire family if they could fuck, marry, kill any of those characters of mine.
Will you text me?
Do? Yeah. Oh, you
what
bet.
What your mom says and what your sisters say?
My mom's going to go, ew, what?
Of course.
I'm vacuuming. Go away.
And then you're going to be like, Andrea asked me. She's gonna be like, oh, God, why did I? Oh.
Then she'll be like, oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, I love your mom. Okay. So I had a couple. I feel like we can't beat that for fuck, marry, kill. Let's okay. be honest. All right. I'm going to throw would you rathers at you real fast.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
Okay.
Would you rather lose your ability to speak for a month or your sense of smell for a year?
Ability to speak for a month.
Because you love smelling?
I just, well, because sense of smell also comes with sense of taste. So if you can't taste, if you can't smell, you can't taste anything. I really love food. Also,
you love cannolis, by the way.
I love cannolis.
What is the deal with cannolis in your social media with cannolis?
I don't know. The other day, I was on set and I was sitting there and I was eating real well because it was for the kissing booth and I was, you know, in bikini all the time. So I was like doing, you know, the most. Mm-hmm. And then I was sitting there like, damn, I don't know why, but I just feel like a cannoli. And then it set me on a bender of just like craving a cannoli because Durban, South Africa isn't really known for having cannolis.
No.
So I did not get my cannoli. I haven't had one since.
You haven't?
No. I'm so upset. Like, okay. I came home and there was no cannoli for me. Oh, can you believe that?
If I could, I would run out and get you.
My family sucks.
Yeah, by the way, your family's a bunch of assholes. You've been so, honestly, very pushy and obvious about how much you'd love a cannoli.
I really?
And they're just ignoring you.
So pushy. Like, dedicated stories.
But also, this keeps you humble. This is why you are a good person.
I know. And then I got home and then my sister kicked me and spit in my face and said, "No cannoli is for you." And I quote.
I'm all totally on board with that. Would you rather be found dead in the middle of just aggressive sex toys or have your Google history search, your Google search history be made public and to people out there and also your friends and family? Dead. You're dead in both of these scenarios. One, the headline is she was found.
Let's just reveal what my search history is now, okay?
That's what I'm talking about.
Steve Carell, hot. And
wow.
Where is Ray Romano? Those are the... That's in the last 5 days.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, what the fuck is the word for limbo?
For in between.
So, honestly, though, like... I wouldn't mind the reveal of the history, but I'm one for dramatics. I'm an actress. I'm paid to be an attention whore.
Yes.
I want to be dead in the middle of aggressive sex toys. you know what? If you're going to go out with a bang.
I love you for picking that one. I love you for picking that one.
I knew you'd appreciate it. And I honestly, like, if someone you knew had that kind of, you know, reveal of death, wouldn't you just be like, wow, that they're so
interesting.
They're like, what are they up to? They're so mysterious.
Yeah.
So I want people to say that about me. I'm so non-mysterious. It's annoying how open I am. So I want people to have some questions.
You are incredibly open. This would create a little bit of a mystique.
Yeah. But now it wouldn't. Now people would know.
Well,
let's think of something else and then whisper it to me.
Okay. I'll give you four things when you leave of really interesting, thought-provoking ways for you to die.
Okay, cool.
Please don't die soon.
I won't.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That would be just... What celebrity do people say you look like? Does anyone ever say you look like somebody else?
Yeah, no, all the time. People say I look like Rachel Weisz.
Oh, yeah, you do.
But my favorite is, and I've only met her a couple times, Chloe Grace Moretz. And this makes sense to me.
Yeah.
This is my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. I was at the airport the other day. Uh-huh. And normally people recognize me, and it's because it's me. Someone came up to me at the airport, and they were like, "Excuse me, are you Chloe Grace Moretz?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Oh, no, I'm not, but I'm a big fan of her." And they were like, "You're not?" And I was like, "No." And then she goes... and then she walked away and I was like, okay, bitch, whatever. Then I'm getting my luggage and then this guy comes up to me and he was with the girl. So they're
not buying this. They're
so
like,
he comes up and he goes, "Can we get a picture with you?" And I said, "Okay, yes, but I'm not Chloe Grace Moretz." And then the girl comes over and she goes, "Okay, but I think you are and you're just not telling us." I swear this happened. I was laughing, but I was also starting to get a little irritated at this point. I was like, I am also an actress, but I am not Chloe Grace Moretz. But I will take this picture with you, but just know that I'm not Chloe Grace Moretz. It was so but funny.
I also love that, because I also know that feeling where you're like, I'm not going to say who I am because that's a weird thing to do.
I'm not going
to
be like, I'm Joey King. I'm an actress who's done this, this, and this. But it was just like so, they totally thought I was lying.
At a certain point, were you like, it's just going to be easier for me to go, you caught me, let me sign something for you.
Well, because then I'd be representing her in a way. She'd be like, I don't want to be represented as this weird little like Jewish girl in an airport. Like,
first of all, I don't know why you are portraying Chloe as an anti-Semite.
It
sounds like. Do you have any sort of thing to back it up? That Chloe Moretz is an anti-Semite. Because this is alarming information. I feel like someone else just recently told us a story about how they ended up signing somebody. They were finally like, yes, it's me. And they just ended up signing it and being like, here you go. Because they couldn't. Who was it? Well, or I just read somebody did that.
After Kick-Ass came out, we do look a lot alike from when she was in that movie, especially after my film Wish I Was Here came out and I was wearing that purple wig in that movie. So people would ask me, like tell me they love me in Kick-Ass. And people, by the way, also come up to me and tell me, because my sister's on Young and the Restless, people come up to me all the time and be like, I love you on Young and the Restless.
You do look a lot like your sister.
I do. So I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to be everybody. Like, I'm going to, let's play Fuck, Marry, Kill with Chloe, my sister, and Rachel. Let's do that.
Here we go.
Okay.
Go, here we are. Make love, murder, and marry.
Well, maybe.
Chloe Grace Moretz. Let's go with Hunter.
Let's go. I'm going to marry my sister. Obviously. She's so cool.
She is very cool.
So I'd have a home. I already live in the same house with her. So
I feel like we kill Chloe. She's against Jews. Oh my God. I feel like that's a service for society. Oh yeah.
My God.
And then Rachel Weisz, you have a hot night.
She's hot.
Yeah. You have a hot night with Rachel.
She is hot. Yeah, I would do that. Let's go.
I was trying to think, by the way, I just recently found all these journals of mine, and I know that I have a journal where I turn when I turn 20. Because I cannot find it, and it's making me crazy because I wanted to bring it today and be like, this is what I was doing when I was 20. I was living in Spain. I was doing study abroad for my junior year of college.
Oh, wow.
And I lived with a family. You are nominated for an Emmy, and you are starring in everything, makeup campaigns. I mean, you've got everything. You're on fronts of magazines and stuff. So my point is, we're different. I was like, what is my point? Now, your social media presence has gone...
It's a little crazy.
Insane.
It's crazy.
Because when we did Summer 03, you had what? Maybe a couple hundred thousand?
Yeah. Well, before The Kissing Booth came out, I was... And I remember the number because I was blown away at what happened. 612,000. And I just hit 10 million the other day.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's like... It's a lot. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Can you even think of what that looks like?
I know. That's what I was actually... That's what I...
That's
when I hit
bigger
it, I was
than
like,
a lot of cities.
I was trying to think about what that looks like. Now, I just... It's... Yeah. I don't
that's
know.
That's crazy. Now, I have like 60,000 followers or something on Instagram. Do you have any advice for how I get my numbers up? Because I'm not good at it.
Okay. Lots of color. Color's fun. Like colorful things, like colorful posts. I love color. So I like.
So that's what I need to do is I just need to put a bunch of pink posts?
Yeah, a bunch of pink. No, actually, though, I don't like.
Basically, I have to be like a teen sensation in a major Netflix movie.
Someone asked me this today, actually, like how I feel about my social media, if it makes me feel pressure.
You were at another podcast before this, right?
Yeah, it was for the Hollywood Press Association. Sorry, I just had something in my
throat. Did they also ask you to fuck, marry, kill characters of yourself?
That's so funny that you say that because they did not get around to that question. Okay. I saw it on the
sheet like of some of us are nailing interviews and some of us just half-assing.
I had to approve all the questions and that was on there. So I don't know what happened. They just, maybe they got... too nervous.
They got nervous. They got nervous.
My overwhelming presence was too much for them.
Took over.
Yeah, took over. They asked me about the pressure of social media and if it makes me feel pressured. And the one thing I said, which I totally mean, from the time I had 612,000 to the time now, I made like a promise to myself as my number started growing that I wasn't going to like make it some curated content mm-hmm. thing, like make it like this cool. Like I just literally post what I want to post and whatever makes me happy. And then I don't post what I don't want to post. Sometimes I feel like posting mm-hmm. 3 times in a day. Sometimes I don't feel like posting for a week and a half. And like that doesn't, like I don't care. Like I don't think about it too much because I feel lucky and you're in the same boat as me that I feel the pressure comes when people, when their job is social media, as far as like, and I don't think there's anything wrong with this, yeah. but people who are, you know, Instagrammers, that's mm-hmm. their job or yeah. that's how they make their money or like, that's totally fine. But I think that that's where that pressure and mental health kind of starts yeah. to go downhill if they feel the pressure.
Yes. That.
If they don't and they love it, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But for me, my job is not social media. It's just a fun extension of my job. So that's why I feel like having that mentality, it doesn't bother me as much as it bothers other people.
And I think this is also another example of, not to go back to it, but why you are an anomaly. And again, thank you to your mother, but of being comfortable enough to know that and to just go, I'm just going to do it and I'm not going to get caught up in it and get pressured to do it because it's so hard yeah, not to.
It is hard.
And the pressure is there and your influence is there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are people that are like, want to use you and your influence to get to people and
for sure
to and be 20 and to hold the line and be like, I'm gonna fucking text about cannolis and I'm not gonna text about whatever. Like that, I know we're joking around, but it actually does take a very strong sense of self, which you have at an early age.
Yeah, I feel very lucky to have the self-confidence that I do have.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't always been that way. And it's
of course,
it's,
you're 20.
It's difficult.
It would be crazy if you'd always had that.
For sure. And it's difficult. And sometimes I'm not as confident as I want to be. And as sometimes I am. Absolutely. Yeah. But I feel like my sense of self and my sense of like knowing who I am mm-hmm. and being happy with that. Like generally, I'm happy with who I am as a person because I know I'm a good person. You
yes.
know? And that's what matters. And my social media is a reflection of my life. It's fun things that I like mm-hmm. to do. My family, things that I care about, organizations that I want to speak about, and yeah. just cannolis.
And like, cannolis.
And cannolis.
Just so many cannolis. All right, you want to do one more Would You Rather?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to try to make a good one. Here we go. Two, 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 two. Okay. You're locked in a room full of spiders for... Why? But don't ask why. These are... you know how this works.
All right, all right.
None of these are good. Yeah. Would You Rathers are never like, would you rather... Like make out with make out with the cutest boy in the world or have the perfect sandwich. You know, it's never like
the
that.
Perfect sandwich.
I agree.
Mendocino Farms every makes time. A really good one anyway.
Okay, you're locked in a room full of spiders for an hour. Yeah. Okay? Like full of spiders. Would you rather have the lights on or off?
I don't want to be here anymore.
I understand. I understand that neither of these are positive.
Andrea, how did you come up with this sick question?
I find them, I research, I go deep dives online, and then I find the ones that actually, because most would you rathers are stupid.
Yeah.
But I find the ones that actually really go like, oof, that's tough.
Oh, man. What would you do, Tony?
Yeah, Tony?
I want the lights on. I don't want to be surprised.
Tony always
them.
Wants the lights on. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Like
you
when
promised
he's like,
you would do you know tell what I'm saying?
Like when he's like,
making love.
Like when he's like brushing his teeth. What?
Making love.
Oh, right.
When I'm brushing my teeth. Where are you going with that?
What? Who's brushing their teeth with the lights off? Joey. What?
Like when you're like doing things like getting dressed, like you want like
the lights
like,
on? Yes.
Yeah.
What? This is like back with the tooth fairy pillow. Like, is there something else that you do?
I want to hear all about her day now.
Yeah, you brush your teeth and get dressed in the dark.
Yeah. I can't think you and me over here.
Okay, you want the lights on. Why?
I don't want to be...
why, Tony?
I want to see them... If they're coming at me, I want to see it. I don't want to be surprised by it.
By the way, when you say full of spiders, what do you mean?
I would say, okay, let's imagine you're in like the size of a small powder room. So like one sink and a toilet. So like that size room.
So a half bath.
A half bath. Yes, thank you. You're in a... half bath. Yeah, you're in a half bath.
I watch HGTV.
Yeah, you're in a half bath. And let's say there's 25 spiders.
Oh.
That's it?
Oh, that's it.
Oh, Sorry, that's not horrible enough.
Do you know my mind went to like filled to the neck spiders? No, and I was like, this is awful.
Okay, I'm gonna, because clearly all of you were like, that's it. Like, that's
that's
like
a lot of spiders. No, it is. That's like,
and
shit.
Some of them are large. Like, some of these are 4-inch spiders.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Like, so you're
on.
In a you're
lights
in a,
on for me. You, Jess?
Jess?
If there were, if it was neck up, lights off. I don't need to see it. I don't know.
Because it's just already it's so bad.
I don't need to see anything that's going on in there. But if it's 10.
It's not like 10. It's 25.
Oh, no. It's 25.
Didn't I say 25?
Yeah. 25.
Off.
Off?
Off? Off.
I don't want to see it.
Wow.
I'm all lights on.
Yeah, me too.
Because I, and this is obviously
now,
fake.
Now, does the powder room have a can of Raid?
No.
Okay.
See, because I do think seeing them gives me a sense of control, but I can't get away from them. So it's not really, but I feel like for an hour I could be like flicking, flicking,
crying,
flicking. Because I don't hate spiders. I don't want them on me, but I'd rather see them than feel it.
Yeah. I had one living outside, a pregnant spider that was living outside my window.
How do you know the spider's pregnant?
Let me tell you, Andrea. Uh-huh. I'll tell you how I knew. Uh-huh. So I named it. Her name is Fester. She was like, you know, a decent looking black widow kind of thing.
Black widow kind of thing or a black widow?
A black widow.
So red tummy.
Red little back.
Red little
back thing. And so then, so she had this like nice web and I was like, cool, man, like you do you. You're outside my window. It's like,
this is crazy.
I don't know what to tell you. Like, you're living your life. I'm living mine. Whatever.
All right.
So then Fester got real fucking fat. Like, huge all of a sudden. And I was like, okay, what? And then she made this web that looked like stuffing. Like, do you know that?
Oh.
Yeah.
Like a, stuff. In like a pillow
or something. Yeah. Like that kind of stuff. Like a very, like very wild, uncontrollable web.
Uh-huh.
And I looked that, and then, like, that's, she's ready to have babies is what that meant. And I was like, okay, I was all for you living here and like doing your thing now, but like now you gotta go.
You've overstepped.
I
can't have 200 black widows.
No, because you know what happens when you step on a pregnant spider?
Yeah. Oh God.
Their babies go, oh God.
Wait, so you put her out?
No, she was out. She was already outside. She was just living. I have a beautiful picturesque window in my bedroom. She was just on my window making a home. And I was like, whatever. That's cool. Like, kind of cool.
Okay, so what did you do when you realized
she was going to have babies? I was like, we got to get rid of Fester. And she was like, yeah, we do. And then I left for the day. And then I came home. And my mom's like, so I raided Fester. And I was like, yo, that's so fucked up.
Oh.
And she was like, I know, I feel really bad. And I was like, me too. But then she's like, but at the same time, I don't. And I was like, yeah, me neither. But then Fester didn't really die. Fester just dropped down to my sister's window.
Oh, Jesus. This is
so I don't know where stuff. I haven't seen Fester since then. But I mean, I'm happy that I didn't. I'm thankful to my mom for doing that because I didn't really want to do that myself.
Well, I think, you know what? You're 20 and I feel like you're still at the age that your mom should be taking care of Fester, the black widow that you were totally okay with.
Well, she actually came up with that name.
Your mom did?
Yeah. I was like, what should we name it? She's like, I'm feeling Fester. And I'm like, yeah, that's good.
That seems right.
And then there was my spider. I need to call an exterminator. There was another spider outside my house.
This year's been a big spider year in California.
Yeah, I think so.
Or at least LA.
Then I named this one outside my other window named Gator. And he was cool. He was, I don't know if it was a girl or a boy, but he wasn't bothering. He was not pregnant.
Yeah. Or a black widow. Anyone.
Not a black widow. Big, but not a black widow.
Yeah. The black widow part where I'm like, Joey, let's maybe not.
A little concern.
Yeah. Let's not do that.
It's not going to bite me, right?
Actually, it might. That's what they do. So, yeah.
It was outside, though. But if it had babies, that's what I was like. Yeah. Those guys could get in.
Especially spiders are known to have quite a few babies when they have babies.
Like a lot of
a lot of babies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like 25.
My house, like
25. And they do it
in a half
room.
Bath. In a half bath.
In a half bath.
My house also has house centipedes. I'm like,
what?
I've got a lot of issues, you guys.
House centipedes?
Yeah.
So you have just centipedes in the house?
No. Well,
Is there a
species called house centipedes?
I don't believe you, and I will Google this.
I will look it up right now.
Will you look it up, Tony?
Yeah.
House centipedes?
It has gotten better, by the way,
uh-huh.
like since I moved in, but those guys like to come up through the drain, and that's concerning.
That's tough stuff. All right. We're going to look up house centipedes.
I'm going to do it before Tony does.
Well, obviously, because Tony Although, speed is not Tony's forte. Oh, you're not on my internet.
Oh, my LTE is not. Well,
Tony, looks like this is your day. Looks like your day. House Senate. Those are particularly called House Centipedes. No. Is that a real thing?
It's a brand of centipede.
Tony, talk to me.
It says now the individual page is loading. I wanted a.
Go slower, Tony.
Hey, it's a whole article. Understanding the house centipede.
So it is a thing.
Yeah.
The house centipede facts. House centipede, a Scutigera coleopatrata, is a small. I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah. Is a small, typically yellowish gray centipede with up to 15 pairs of long legs, originating in the Mediterranean region. The species has spread to other parts of the world where it can live in humans' homes, thus gaining the name house centipede.
Is this look like the ones in your house?
Yeah. This is exactly what that looks like.
That's sickening.
That's upsetting.
That's horrible, right? Like, yeah. Burn the house down.
I didn't need
like,
to know.
Yeah, like, move. Existed.
Like, burn
the house down.
Like, don't need the house.
Don't need the house.
Don't need a home. So, anyway.
Okay. Well, by the way, house centipede, you are correct. We're going to give you that.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to finish up with my friend Joey King.
Okay.
Guys, we are here back with Joey King on Andrea Savage, a grown-up woman, hashtag buttholes. All right, Joey, you and I were talking in my kitchen right before we came in here, and then we were having a whole conversation. I was like, why are we talking now?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Right, yeah.
So I just want to go back quickly, just because I think this is really interesting, because we were talking about how you got the role of Gypsy in the act. Tell me what you were talking about, because you were saying that you weren't allowed to use the voice.
Yeah, I auditioned for the role without doing the voice of Gypsy, which was really interesting to me.
Do you know why that they wanted that?
Yes, they didn't want actresses coming in and trying. It was less important for them to get the voice rather than the essence that they wanted. And they were afraid that by having actresses come in and being married to this voice, that it was going to sound like everyone was going to sound either like they were mocking her, or it just wasn't going to sound right, or it was going to feel forced.
I actually totally get that.
I totally get it.
And if I were producing that show and cast, I would do the same thing.
Yeah, that's how I felt. I felt, I was like, okay, that's smart, but I really wanted to do it. But they said no. So I prepared my audition, and it was really, it was difficult to grasp this character to me, because all the footage out there, all the research I'd done, I was like, I want to be able to take it by the, you know, just grab it with this voice.
And the voice is so specific.
Yeah, it's so specific. But I don't know, I don't even know how I did the lines in the audition. I can't remember, but I did it without the voice. And I booked it. And then afterwards, when I was on a phone call with all the people who were like, who were hiring me, and they were like, congratulations, so excited for you. I was actually wedding dress shopping with my sister, and I got a call at a wedding dress shop, and they were like, we're so excited to have you. I'm like, oh my God. But I was like, you guys, I just have a thought. I've been working on the voice, and I want to do some more work on it. I'm not ready to show it to you yet, but I would love to do the voice.
Yeah.
And they were like, once I had gotten the job, they were like, we are loving that idea. And if it feels right. And if it doesn't, we're not married to the voice. We love you without the voice. So like, let's like try it. But if not, cool. And I was like, great. So I'm going to work on this. And then I got to work on that.
So there would have been a version potentially without the voice.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. The one thing that you said that I thought was really interesting, because you were like, the audition went well, but you weren't like, oh.
I definitely wasn't like, best audition of my life, I'm booking this.
And then you said what you think maybe.
Yeah, what I think maybe had.
Put it over.
Yeah, put it over was me, the showrunners, the director, we all just kind of started having a conversation about the case and Gypsy and the disorder of Munchausen by proxy and just like all the things that must have gone through Gypsy's mind. And it wasn't, I didn't prepare to talk about anything. They just wanted to chat, and I was like, cool. And I wasn't, I wasn't trying to sound articulate. I was just
being you,
chatting with them about how crazy. And I just kept saying, I was like, this is such a crazy situation.
Thank you for not swearing.
But
I appreciate that.
Fuck. But no, I was like, this is just such a crazy situation. And we were, you know, just having a really open, honest chat about it. Then someone else started chatting about their life. Then I started chatting about my life. And it was just a really nice talk. And I think that once they saw that I think they thought the audition went phenomenal. And I was very happy about that. But I mean, they saw my performance. Then they got to know me as a person. And I think we all kind of bonded. And they were like, you know what? Let's just pull the trigger on this shit. But that, I'm so thankful that they believed in me, because this show, honestly, it is that casting the character Gypsy, it is that had to have been the most stressful thing in the world. And I'm so also thankful to the casting director, Sharon Bealey, because she was so supportive of me going in there.
Which
she wanted me to get that. And I've been auditioning with her for a long time now. And so I just feel like it was so nice.
Cause let's
to
be honest, that role could, in the wrong hands, have been laughable.
That's the problem. And I'm so, and that's the thing, when you read a script, I read the script for the act and I was so blown away by it and I loved it. But when you read a script, and you know this, you can only hope for so much. It can turn out to be garbage.
You can't control.
And I was nervous because I was like, am I going to be the garbage component of this amazing script now that I've booked this role?
Yeah.
And I was really scared
of course,
ruining it. But
I think every job that's worth having, there's a healthy dose of excitement and a very healthy dose of fear.
Yeah.
I have that when I go into every season of my show, excitement and full panic. I have that going into starting this podcast. Excitement, but also like, what if this isn't good? What if this isn't, and it's like, and then there's no one else to blame but me, really.
Yeah.
And the same with my show. And I think a healthy dose of panic.
I think I have a helping of fear.
But I think that's important because it means that it matters.
Absolutely. And so going into this, I was so scared and so nervous of failing and like being just like, you know, I was like, either this is going to be really good for me or it's going to like ruin me. And so.
But you took the risk.
Yeah.
And you fought for it and you wanted it because I'm just so happy.
So bad.
But I'm just happy because now, I mean, you know, not that you've been acting for so long and you've always been so fantastic. But I remember when I was working on Summer 03 and I remember coming home to my husband and being like, Joey King's amazing. And I was like, she's the real deal. Like, she's like an actress. And so I was happy that you finally could do something transformative.
Me too.
And not that you weren't doing great stuff before, like coming of age stuff and romantic comedies and stuff. But I was like, no, she's like the real fucking deal.
Oh, thank you.
And then I was like, but she's kind of a dick.
She's kind of a dick though. So, you know.
Yeah. So fuck her.
So fuck her. Whatever.
No, I loved it. So I'm just going to say, and then we're going to let you go on with your lives. I know that this podcast is about like sort of me having fun with people who are technically grown-ups who aren't fucking lame. And why is a 20-year-old here is, I think, I assume most people are like, what the fuck?
Okay.
No, nobody's thinking that. But I do think, you know.
Are you going to ask me the moment that I like knew I was a grown-up?
No, because you're not.
Okay, I'll tell you the moment, though.
I would love to know.
Okay. I was like, a bunch of my friends wanted to go to Disney World.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I've got a mortgage. I don't think I'm going to go to Disney World with you guys.
Yeah.
And that was the moment I knew.
And how old were you?
17.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what my point is, because my whole thing is you have to maintain the things that you love and still be laughing. And the whole reason that I make people say buttholes and the whole thing, because you can't take yourself too seriously as an adult.
Yeah.
Or now you are the boring, lame adult. But if you still have a lightness and humor about life, but I don't think it's age specific.
No.
Because you can have responsibilities.
Absolutely.
From 17.
And I think that people like, I think a lot of the time, I think it's getting better in this industry, but because I'm a woman and a young woman at that, a lot of the time I get underestimated. And it's like an ageism reverse kind of towards me being young. And I'm happy that that's kind of going away, but it's still definitely present. And people, I feel like, very much so underestimate the things that I can do. I'm not just silly hat rack.
Yeah. No, but that will be there for a long time.
Yeah.
Because it's just the nature of one, actresses are underestimated usually, women and young.
Yeah.
So you'll be fighting that for a while. Have fun.
Yay.
But I feel like you've had your responsibilities earlier, but you still are, you know, maintain lightness and stuff. And we had June Squibb here, whom we obviously all work together. So, do you know she's turning 90 this year?
No way.
90.
That's
And we worked with her,
that's
what,
old.
2 years ago? I mean, that's legitimately not young. And she is, to me, I wanted to have, like, you and June to show that this isn't necessarily an age thing at all. It's really a balance of grown-up responsibilities and still pushing the envelope, having a sense of humor about life, going with the ups and downs. And
saying butthole.
Yes. And by the way, June Squibb happily sat there and said butthole.
How did she say it, though?
So great.
Like if you were to...
But she said, hi, my name is June Squibb, and this is how I say buttholes. Like a pride.
Yeah.
And she's silly, but she also works fucking hard.
I think I maybe went too Christopher Walken with it.
Go for it again.
Okay.
Give it a flourish. By the way, you can go. I feel like the structure, how it is on the paper, forces people to be very small with it.
No, it's good. It's good. My name is Joey King, and this is how I say buttholes. Well, how was that? I added a little accent to it.
I loved the accent.
Right? It was like, I felt like I was in Ratatouille for a second. Like one of those like background kitchen chefs.
Yeah. So I just think, like, you know, if you can sort of, and June was like, and again, I don't know if June's going to be on before you or not, because I don't have a running order of this. Mm-hmm. But this could be a teaser for June coming on. But she's kind of been like you, like known who she was very young.
Yeah.
And is like, I don't have to change exactly who I am, even though I'm going to have more responsibilities and she had a child and this and that. But this is still life and let's keep pushing. Which, is there anything about being like the idea of growing up that scares you at all?
You know, there was, but for me, I really have in the last year become a lot more happy because I've stopped mm-hmm. focusing on my future.
And what do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is I've tried to stop setting like a goal or being like, this is what I want to do for this year or that year. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I wasn't enjoying each moment, mm-hmm. you know, and now like this nomination is probably one of the coolest things that's ever happened to me, if it's not the incredible. Coolest. And I don't want to set a goal for myself in my career now, because when I hit that one, I'm just going to be setting another goal and I'm never going to mm-hmm. be happy or fulfilled. And so living in this moment, I feel like the most excited I've ever felt. And I just mm-hmm. want to enjoy that. And looking forward, like I'm excited for the future, but it doesn't, like, I don't want to dwell on it because I will get scared. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I did get scared about was how when we age, like a lot of the time for actresses, when you age, you stop working in great roles is what the whole mm-hmm. thing is.
Yes.
But now things are starting to get a little bit better. And I see someone like Patricia, who's now having her best work mm-hmm. in her 50s. And it makes me excited to get older because I hope that my career will flourish and have a long life and all that stuff. And it doesn't, I don't now look at getting older with fear and like, I'm never going to work again. I now look at it with excitement and anticipation of like, hopefully I'm going to have some really cool things to still be able to tackle when I'm in my 50s.
And I think you will. And I honestly, as somebody whose biggest success has come in their 40s.
Yeah.
It's possible. And you just keep pushing and you either create it yourself or more women are going to be creating stuff. And also because your career isn't based on your looks, even though you're gorgeous, but you've shown that you can play the beautiful, you know, hot lead, but also, you know, the gypsy, you know, rose.
You can shave your head and wear
fake teeth and do all that. And that's the longevity career as well.
And that
well.
Makes me excited too, because I've always, and I'm very lucky that I've got one of those faces that can kind of just do a
dress up
bit
and
of,
dress down.
Dress up and dress down, because I want to be able to be relatable and be a little bit of everything.
You're like a good pair of jeans and a blazer.
Oh my God, thank you.
Because you can wear it with a slip on and a sneaker.
Dress it up, dress it down.
And then you throw on a heel and put on some hoop earrings.
Boom.
Boom, let's go out tonight.
Out on the town.
That's you.
Then you put on a pair of sneakers. My kids' assembly. Done.
Done. Or you put on a pair of heels and go, fuck you. I'm going to wear heels to my kids' assembly.
That is.
And then you're a crazy person.
And then you're that mom.
And then you're a weirdo mom. All right. I'm going to ask you one thing.
Okay.
If you had to brag about something about yourself, serious, not serious, something that you're like, I'm fucking the best at this and people may know, not know,
I can solve a Rubik's Cube in a minute and 25 seconds. So
are you serious?
That's pretty fucking cool. That's my fastest time. It's not every time I solve it in a minute and 25
but that's
seconds.
That's impressive.
That's pretty fucking good.
That's really fucking good.
Yeah. It's fast.
Anytime a person disparages you for your gender or
just
age,
be like, bitch.
Be like, yeah.
I can solve a Rubik's Cube in a minute and 25 seconds.
I don't even think you explain. You just go, 125, fucker.
That, oh my God, that is good.
And then they'll be like, what? And you're like,
that is good.
Rubik's Cube.
You know what I can also do that's pretty cool? Hmm. That like, I do it to other people and I know I'm the best at it because people are like, come to me for it. I can crack this part of people's knuckles for them.
That's
right there
the
on the
spot
thumb.
In between your thumb and next finger?
Yeah, like it's like right before, like
is
right
that
after your
to crack? Ankle.
Ankle. Right, your ankle, right after your wrist, before your thumb.
I'll oh, it's it. The space between your
I'll
wrist
do it
and
for
thumb.
You.
No,
yeah.
I don't. I,
I'll do
that,
it. Here,
no,
Jess,
no.
Let me do it for you. Here, come oh close to
here
the microphone,
go.
Though.
Okay. Are she going to hear it? We're going to hear
ready?
It?
Wait, ready? That was her knee.
Oh, my God. Holy shit. I fully
I'm
heard
the
that.
Best at
How
it.
Did that feel?
It's a part of my body I didn't know could crack.
Feels good, though, right?
It does kind of feel good.
I know. Wow, I should even you. I'll do the other one. Okay.
Oh, even her out. Wait, put it to the mic. Oh my God.
I'm a changed woman.
Guys, I don't think we're going to get any better than that. Joey, I love you. I'm sorry I don't see you more.
I love you.
I'm so proud of you, and I don't want to sound like an old pretend mom,
no.
But I really am. And you're really just a lovely human being.
Thank
and
you.
I'm so excited for you.
Thank
and
you.
Also, you know. Don't act like it's such a fucking big deal when I put a tooth under my goddamn.
Okay, here's yeah.
No.
That's no.
No, no,
no,
no,
no.
What?
No.
No.
I didn't know if she'd wake up or not. Whatever.
That's fair. That's fair. All right.
But that is fucking weird, Andrea, that you like.
I love you.
I love you more. Thank you for having me.
Okay.
Fuck you, Tony.
Well, we have to end on that.
Love you, Jess.
Bye. Welcome back to the show, guys.
Thank you. To me or the listener?
To the listeners,
okay.
To you, to Jennifer,
yeah.
Who has been allowed to sit in an actual chair and not crouching awkwardly next to a coffee table.
I don't think
very
I've
awkwardly.
Seen or heard her have this much joy before.
And then I was like, I'm going to take a picture of Jennifer in that chair. She immediately was like, oh God, my mom will get mad at me if my hair's not down.
Yeah, it's happened before a lot. There was one time a photo that was on Facebook where my scarf wasn't wrapped around me. It was just like down.
Oh.
And then I immediately got posted. Not even a second after, got a call. Did you really wear your scarf like that? And I was like, are you kidding me?
Oh, Jennifer, that's something we're going to need to unwrap.
We have
going
a lot to
here.
Unwrap.
We do. Now, I also need to explain that as Tony and I barely know each other starting this podcast, Jennifer's first day was the day we recorded the first podcast. So not only are we strangers, Jennifer and I barely know each other as well. We've spent a lot more time together
yeah.
now, but still, I have started this with two complete strangers.
Yeah. Technically, you've known me longer, but
yes.
You spent way more time with her.
Yeah,
yeah.
Guys, I have gone against every thing that everyone says as a chance of your podcast to be successful and doing this. Now, Tony, I was thinking, we play a lot of games with our guests.
Mm-hmm.
You and I both like games.
Mm-hmm.
You and I never get to play games together.
That's true. You could... Are you about to invite me over for family game night?
No, I am not.
Oh, right.
I'd love you to not intermingle with the rest of my family and just keep this separate. Keep this friendship as separate.
Friendship doesn't sound like the right word, though.
But it's the one I'm going to use
right.
Just to smooth this moment over. So Jennifer has found a couple random lists that you're like, why has anyone put time or effort into
mm-hmm.
these lists? And you and I are going to see which one of us guesses more things right on whatever list that she chooses. Would you like to put money on this?
Oh, boy.
Because I feel like if we're not competing for something, then what are we doing?
All right. I like the way you think. Sure.
$5?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, you seem disappointed. 10?
I don't know how confident I feel. So I also don't know how much money I have.
Okay. $5. I feel like $5 is something I will legitimately work hard for.
All right.
Okay.
I'm cool with that.
Jennifer, what is a list that you have recently found?
In honor of Halloween, it is America's top 10 Halloween candy as ranked by candystore.com.
One
of my favorite websites.
First of all, it's not like they're supporting the show. It's literally just that is what it is. I feel like, though, that's a legitimate place. All right. So what are we doing? Top 10?
Top 10.
All right. Tony?
Top 10 Halloween candy.
That's most popular Halloween candy. $5 on the line.
I am going. So I'm going first. Reese's peanut butter cups.
Fuck you. Obviously, that's number one.
Ding, ding. It is actually number four.
Oh, all right. Well, okay. You got a point.
Ding, ding.
Yeah. I don't know if I love Jennifer's ding, ding. We might need to put our own ding in. I was like, we don't need a ding, but now I'm like, we might need a ding because ding, ding,
ding, ding.
Don't try to make it sound better. All right. I'm going to go with, that was Reese's Peanut Butter. I'm going to go with a Skittles.
Number one.
I mean, it's literally just like embarrassing for you.
I mean, I feel like there's some behind the scenes shadiness going on here. I think that you're helping find these lists. You're studying it.
I wish that I had the time and effort to be, because it would be fantastic if I was just spending time doing this.
Could you imagine if you called me at like 11 p.m. and were like, hey,
give me the answer.
Give me the answers.
Jennifer, listen. And just then be cool about this.
It's like what they say when you go to sleep, you're supposed to repeat something when you go to sleep and right when you wake up. Uh-huh. And that's how you remember it. And that's what I like whisper it in your ear.
Well, we usually, you know, a lot of times we sleep in the same bed because we're working so hard. So yeah. I just have to turn over and be like, Jennifer, give me number one. All right.
You have to do all this for just Skittles.
Listen, I commit. I am a big Skittles fan though. Cause you know, I think we've discussed, I like a soury mm-hmm. candy. You mm-hmm. like a peanut butter chocolate.
It's true.
So I feel like our first guesses were right on brand.
Yeah.
Now we got to loosen it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
You've done Reese. I'm writing this down so I don't double up on what you've said.
All right.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say M&M's.
Number two.
Solid.
Hey now.
Solid. I feel like you and I are going to end up tied. I feel like we'll see. You're right. I'm getting ahead. I'm getting ahead of myself. Do you eat a lot of candy?
Not a lot, but like, I'll
eat
it.
You like candy.
Yeah.
I like candy. I eat candy.
I try not to, but I have a weak spot for it here and there.
I think you asked me at some point, or I feel like you and I discussed like what's something that would be surprising to people. I think one thing, because I'm a healthy eater.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a woman in my 40s. Mm-hmm. I have to eat healthy to stay in shape and exercise and blah, blah, blah. But I eat more candy than people would. That's my sugar is the one thing I do not get rid of.
Yeah, it's real hard to get rid of.
And I know people are like, it's really bang, 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 bang. Go suck a dick. All right, we've got Reese's, Skittles, M&M's. I'm going to go with, a Tootsie Roll.
No.
Yeah, I didn't feel great about it. All right.
Buzz.
Do I get an Did you just go buzz?
Yeah, I copied what Tony said.
You both. Why this was a choice I made? All right. That was okay. I just got a buzz.
I will say Snickers.
Yeah, solid.
Number three.
Yeah.
Ding, ding.
Who's?
All right. I feel like the ding dings and the buzzes are really throwing me off. Okay. I'm going to go then with, in that same world, I'm going to go with a Milky Way.
No.
Fucking.
Really? Interesting. I would have. I was getting ready to say that.
Jesus Christ. I'm shitting the bed here. You might not have to pay me $5.
Hey now. So I will say if Milky Way was on there, I don't know if this is going to be, but I'm going to go anyways. Three Musketeers.
No.
Mm. Mm.
No.
Mm.
No.
No.
I'm X-naying the buzz.
X-naying? What is that? happening, Jennifer? I don't think you've earned the big chair. I'm going to be honest. I don't.
I definitely have it.
To sit back on the ground.
I definitely have it.
Okay. I feel like there's going to be something lame. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
I thought Tootsie Roll was going to be the lame one.
Yeah.
Is it like, God, what is just like a lame shit candy? candy corn?
Number six.
Yeah, of course.
Do you not like candy corn?
I actually am okay with it, but it will be only if I just am like, there's nothing else here. And it's either I eat a spoonful of sugar, just plain, or I throw a couple of candy corns in my mouth.
I thought I hated it forever.
Oh, yeah.
And then like a couple years ago, I was at a party and there was some and it was just, yeah. I just grabbed some because they were there. And it turns out I fucking love candy corn.
I love candy corn.
And I can't get enough now.
Yeah.
All
right.
Can I just, this is kind of a generic, and I don't know how specific I need to get. Can I just say like suckers?
Yeah, I don't know if you can, right? Because it's like they're specific, they're all like, all brands.
Yeah.
Besides candy corn.
Yeah. Sorry, Tony.
Okay, then Dum-Dums.
No, good. But that was a good guess.
That is. Oh, you got the pity squirt. Oh, but that was a good guess. I'm going to also go the sucker territory. I'm going to say, I don't want to ruin this again with Tootsie, but I feel like Tootsie Pops.
That's what I almost said.
Ding.
Just one ding.
Ding,
and then like a weird shoulder raise.
Yeah,
okay, what is I went for the ding, and then I realized I shouldn't have gone for the ding. It's 2 Andrea, 3 Tony.
Wait.
Well, now it's 3 Andrea.
I was like, I know three. I got more. It's 3 and 3?
3 and 3.
Okay, so we've got 6. There's 4 left?
Yeah.
All right, let's each get one more guess, and then we'll... And see if we don't have a tie.
Boy, oh boy. How about Kit Kat.
Oh, strong.
No. Buzz. I don't.
It just can be ding or Oh, God. I thought Kit Kat was that. I was like, here we go.
I was like, oh, why didn't I think of this earlier?
Oh, fuck. Okay. I'll tell you what I want to be on there. Nerds, that kind of shit. Don't make a face. Oh boy. Now I don't know if that face was a don't go with that or a go with that. Okay. Fuck. Yep. Don't worry about what just happened there. All right. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going with nerds. Fuck. All right. Well, now we're in a goddamn tie. So, okay. One more. Let's quick.
Jesus, I'm like blanking on even candy.
I'm literally trying to like picture my daughter's like candy stash.
How about Reese's Pieces or Reese's Pieces, depending on where you live.
Really? What the fuck? Oh, candy.com. What is this? Candystore.com?
Candystore.com.
Okay. Starburst.
Ding.
Starburst? Come on.
I will accept by Venmo. I will accept cash.
I forgot Starburst even existed.
Oh, please. I love a Starburst. I'll throw back a Starburst any day.
Do you want to hear the other three?
Yes. What do we got?
Hot tamales.
That's bullshit. That's a ridiculous thing. Nobody gives away hot tamales. They're not even in the packs where you can buy them at Costco.
Hershey's. Just all encompassing
Hershey's. Yeah, yeah. All, yeah, dad.
And then number 10 was Jolly Ranchers.
Okay. There, I do feel like Jolly Ranchers get out there.
Yeah.
Over Kit Kat, though?
Over Kit Kat seems a little...
And over Milky Way?
Yeah, because I feel like you get that little bag that has like all of them together. That's like the Milky Way, the Snickers, and the Kit Kat. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you. Okay. Well, I think we've done what we need to do here. Thanks for listening to our podcast. Subscribe in all the places that you listen and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And follow us on social media, A Savage Pod. I find you both delightful, Jennifer and Tony. I felt the need to say both of your formal first names.
So I had to make sure you were actually talking about this.
And thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Bye.